Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Because you know what we need.
Yes, Lord.
You know everything about us, oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
You know, oh God, everything. We can't hide anything from you, Father God. You see everything, Father God. You see our weaknesses. You see everything about us, oh God. And Lord, you sent your Son on earth, oh God, because you saw that we're nothing without you, oh God. But all the efforts that we made to reach out to you, oh God, were not enough, oh God. And so you sent your Son to make it easy for us, oh God, to make it possible for us to come to you, Father. And so we thank you today because you continue telling us how much you love us, oh God. Every day, Lord, your hands are stretched out to us, oh God, towards us, oh God, to the lost generation, oh God, to everybody, oh God, to come back to you, oh God. And so, Father God, we thank you for that opportunity that you gave us, oh God, to come to you in worship, in praises, in prayer, in fellowship, oh God, in the study of your word, in the preaching of your word, oh God. In encouraging one another, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, that one time that you give us, oh God. And today it's this very hour, Lord, that you've given us. And so we thank you, Father God, for this time that you've given us today to come together, Lord, to praise your name, to worship your name. And so, Father God, we thank you once again, Lord, that you've made it possible, Lord, for us to rejoice in the day that you've made.
Yes,
we thank you, Father God, that you've made it possible for us to come together to give you praises, oh God. And so, Lord, help us to give those praises to you, oh God. We pray that you touch our minds. You touch, Father God, our thoughts. You touch, Father God, our sight, our hearing, Father God. The Lord, our focus shall be on you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith today. And so, Father God, we lift up anybody in this place who's brokenhearted, Father God. We place them at your altar, Father God. Any, Father God, anybody, Father God, who's carrying, Father God, a heavy burden, Father God, on their shoulders, oh God. We pray, Father God, that it be laid at your altar, oh God. As the song says, Father God, that, Lord, you are here in this place to heal our disease, to heal, oh God, our broken hearts, Father God. So we come to you, oh God, the way we are, Father God, that we might not live the way we are, Father God, that you change us, oh God, and just take the burden that we've carried in this week, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your word that is going to come today. We give you praise, Father God.
Yes,
the Lord, you speak your word every day to give us encouragement, to rebuke us, to teach us, Father God, to correct us, oh God, in any way, Father God, that you see fit. So, Father God, we just surrender to your word today. The Lord, our hearts shall yield unto you, oh God, and just respond and surrender and obey to your word, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for just the way you've sustained our lives in the last week, Father God. We praise your name, Father God, for sustaining our lives, oh God. Lord, we pray, Father God, for those that lost somebody in the last week, Father God. We pray that you encourage them, Father God. I pray, Father God, for back in Zambia, Lord, there was an accident, Father God, where people lost their lives. Over 50 people died, Father God. Lord, I pray that you touch the families, oh God, of those touched, Father God. We pray that you encourage them, Father God, and you just restore, Father God, the joy of their salvation, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you touch everybody, Father God, the families that were affected, oh God. We pray that you just encourage them and just bring them back to you, Father God. We pray for this nation as well, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you just help us, Father God, to just come back to you, Father God. Help us, Father God, to just come back to the path that you ordained for us, oh God. Especially for the church, oh God. For Lord, we pray, Father God, that your church be in the place that you want it to be, Father God. For Lord, the lost will never come to you, oh God, unless we show them the way, Father God. And so, God, we pray for the church. We pray, Father God, for your servants. We pray, Father God, for the ministers of your gospel, Father God, that, Lord, they shall speak truth, Father God, that you've spoken to them in the secret places, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the place that you've put us in these last days. We pray that we'll not miss the ministry that you've ordained for us to do in these last days, oh God. Help us, Father God, to do that you have ordained for us to do. We give you praise for everything, Lord. We pray that you just let your glory come down in this place today. Let us see you like we have never seen you before, Father God. Help us, Father God, to just surrender to you, to worship you like we've never before worshipped you, Father God. Pour out your spirit in this place, oh God, that we'll see you in a way that we've never seen you before, Father God. So Lord, we surrender to you, oh God, that you teach us, oh God, how to worship you in this place, oh God. In a place, Father God, in this world where there's so much turmoil, Father God, so much chaos, oh God. But Lord, teach us to worship you, oh God, regardless. Teach us to worship you, Lord, in spite of everything that is happening us around us, oh God. Teach us to walk the path, the way, Father God, that you've ordained for us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, and give you praise. May your name be glorified, oh God, in this place, in our homes, in our lives, in our families, oh God, in this nation, oh God, like never before. We give you praise for everything. It's in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, that we pray. Amen.
For those that are able to stand, let us stand for our responsive scripture reading. We will be reading responsively from Psalm 1, and the responsive reading is found in your bulletin. And I will read the odd verses in green, if you will read the even verses in blue. Amen? Amen. And the word of God reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Together, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. Let us go before our God in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we are just so thankful, Father, to once again be able to come, Father God, into your house, oh God. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, Father God, that was renewed upon us this day, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that in you, Father God, we have everything that we need, Father God. In you, Father God, we have the very breath of life, Father God. And so, God, we just thank you, Father God, and we choose to take our breath, Father God, this very breath, to praise your name, Father God, to thank you, Father God, for all of what you have done for us, Father, for you have been so mindful of us, Father God, for you have created a way for us, a path, Father God. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for your perfect will and your perfect way for our lives, Father God. And so, Lord God, we just want to learn more of you, Father God. Lord God, we want to follow in your ways, Father God. We want to follow in the path of righteousness that you have set before us, Father God. We want to be found doing the very things, Father, that you have called us to do, Father God. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for having a plan for us, Father God, for wanting to use us, Father God, for wanting to use just mere clay, Father God, but you have a special plan for our lives, Father God, and we thank you for that, oh Lord. And so, God, we just want to hear you, Father God, and you said that your sheep will hear your voice and a stranger they will not follow. So, Lord God, we just tuning in our ears, our spirit, Father God, to learn more of you, Father God. so that not only we can fulfill what it is that you have called us to do in our lives, Father God, but so that we may share you with others, Father God. For God, that is the reason why you have left us in this earth, Father God. And so, Lord, we're just forever grateful, Father God. And so, Lord, I just ask that you hide me, Father God, behind your cross, Father God. I completely decrease so that you may increase, Father God. And so, Lord, we'll forever give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And it's in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are not the world. If you will, please meet me in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I will be reading from the Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs.
Yes.
But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideal and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. This is the word of God.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
We are not the world.
Yes.
This is a very popular scripture. Most of us are very familiar with it. However, it is more so popular in the fact that it is heavily quoted and not walked out.
Amen. Ah.
We know this verse as far as memorization is concerned, but most are not living it.
That's right.
We have conformed on so many levels, yet the scripture says, do not be conformed to the world, to this world. This is not an option, but a command.
Yes.
Yet we are doing the very thing that this scripture is telling us not to do. Why, you may ask? Because we have lost sight of our identity.
Yes.
We have lost sight of our purpose. What has clouded our vision from focusing on our true identity and purpose? Self.
Yeah.
Our flesh.
Yes.
We are living in these earthly bodies, which naturally gravitates to the things opposite of God.
Mm-hmm.
However, God has made a way for us by sending his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us,
yes,
those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we have the power to resist and crucify the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But we must make a conscious decision to crucify the flesh daily.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen on its own. We have to make the choice. Then the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget these things. And so we start to imitate the world.
Yes.
But we are not the world. We are not to do the things like the world. We are not to do anything that resembles or imitates the world.
Yes.
So let's go back to the foundation scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. For the most part, the church has fashioned after and adapted to the world's external and superficial customs.
Yes.
What's in it for me?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all about me. That's the attitude that most in the church have today, which we know that that's the attitude of the world.
Right.
But this should not be so. We are to be transforming the world. But it's either or. We can't transform and conform at the same time.
Amen.
Either we are transforming or we are conforming.
Yes.
We are to be the salt and light of the earth. And darkness cannot overpower light. We have the greater power in us. As the scripture tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have to do this key thing, and that is to renew our mind. We are not the world. Therefore, we are not to do as the world does. The world satisfies its lustful desires and cravings. We are not to do the same. Whatever those lustful and desires and cravings may be, because it can be more than some of the things that we consider the obvious, sexual immorality, drunkenness, heresies. You know, these are the things that we typically recognize as things of the world, you know, the fulfillment of the flesh. But what about pride, self-will, self-gratification, unforgiveness? Oftentimes, these are the areas that pose the greatest struggle. This is where most people are in a trap, in bondage, resembling the world. It's through pride, self-will, self-gratification, and unforgiveness. When such things have been manifested in our lives, it is evident that we have given place to our flesh. Therefore, we must repent and allow the Holy Spirit to rule. Yes. So if you will, please go with me to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. We are not the world. Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. And the lightning messed our internet up, so I have to go there myself. And I'm also still reading from the Amplified. And verse 16 reads, "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit.
Yes.
Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God.
Right.
For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other.
Yes.
So that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do.
Amen.
But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law.
Amen.
Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplish, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, godliness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. And we live by the Holy Spirit. Let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit.
Amen.
Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another.
Amen.
We are not the world, but we find a lot of the things that was listed that are obvious manifestations of the flesh, We see that in the church.
Yes.
You know, we see the strife and the envy.
Yes.
You know, we see all those things. You know, not showing brotherly love, easily to take offense.
Yes.
You know, all these things are operating. But when we see those things, we automatically know that we're in the flesh.
Right.
And so therefore, we, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
And so therefore, we do not have to give in to the flesh.
Right.
We have the power to crucify the flesh.
Right.
Because these things, the fleshly things, is what the world does. This is what the world looks like. And we are not the world. We are to be transforming the world, not conforming to the world. We have it backwards.
Yes.
And so God is wanting to let us know you are not the world.
Right.
I called you to come out of the world, to be separate, to be set apart.
Yes.
I have made a way for you. I have given you my spirit.
Yes.
You have the power to do so, but you must renew your mind.
Yes.
You must renew your mind. And it is about God's way and not about my way.
Yes,
about God's will and not my will.
Yes.
It's about me dying to myself and what I think is right for God's glory.
Yes.
All for God's glory.
Yes.
Because we are not the world.
Right.
We need to constantly renew our mind, so that we may remember that we are not the world. Therefore, we are not to mirror any of the world's behaviors. Again, we, the church, are not the world. So if you will, please go with me to Colossians chapter 3. And the Lord is just providing us with plenty of examples.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
And so I will be reading verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yes.
Again, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God.
That's right.
Are not the world.
Right.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So kill, deaden, deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the defying of self and other created things instead of God.
Yes.
It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience.
Yes.
See, this is the characteristics of the world.
Yes.
And the wrath of God is coming upon the world. So therefore, we are not to be that way. We as his church are not supposed to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh.
Right.
So again, on verse 6, it is on account of these very sins and the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked. When you were living in and addicted to such practices.
Amen.
But now put away and rid yourself completely of all these things, anger, rage, bad feelings towards others, curses and slanders and foul mouth abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie one to another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerated self with his evil practices, and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There is no room for, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, nor difference between nations, whether alien, barbarian, Scythians, I believe, and how are, who are the most savage of all, nor slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere, to all men without distinction of person. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardon each other. Even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all these, put on love and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, acts as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds, yes, and dwell in you and all its riches as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed,
yes,
do everything in the name of the Lord,
yes,
Jesus,
yes,
and in the dependence upon him,
yes,
his person, mm-hmm, giving praise to God the Father through him.
Yes.
This is how we are to be.
Yes.
We are not to be like the world. We are not to mirror the things of this world. God has left us instruction in his word. He has given us his Holy Spirit. And not only does his Holy Spirit reside in us,
mm-hmm,
but the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf.
Yes.
And not only does the Holy Spirit intercede on our behalf, but so does Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is still interceding for us.
Yes.
So we are without excuse.
Yes.
We have no reason to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
We have been given the keys to not fulfill,
yes,
the desires, the lustful,
amen,
ways of the flesh.
Right.
We are not the world.
Right.
We have been called to transform the world, not to be conformed to this world. So in John 17,
mm-hmm,
and I'll be reading verses 14 through 23. And again, the Lord has given several scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Word.
God has not left us helpless.
Amen.
He had pity on us. He knew that we couldn't do it by ourselves.
Amen.
That's right.
John 17, verse 14 through 23. And of course, this is Jesus praying to God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's praying to God on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love what it captures here.
Mm-hmm.
And so restarting at verse 14, Jesus is saying, I have given and delivered to them your word, message, and the world has hated them,
mm-hmm,
because they are not of the world.
Yes.
Do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world.
Amen.
I do not ask that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, worldly, belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is true. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, dedicate, consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. Amen. Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe, yes, to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching, that they will be, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, and I, excuse me, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. So the purpose here is that God, Jesus prayed that he said we're not of the world, but he prayed that we would stay in the world so that the world may see and know that there is a God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that we can take his message to the world so that someone can be saved.
Right.
So he prayed that we would stay here for the glory of God, so that someone may come to know him. Mm-hmm. But we are not of this world. Mm-hmm. Our purpose here is to glorify God, to be salt, to be light.
Yes.
And so skipping down to verse 25 and 26, and yes, this, when I read this,
yes,
and in the Amplified, it really just, it kindled the fire in my heart.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually, and these men understand and know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known, and that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. And what I love about this verse is when he says that your name, I have made your name known,
yes,
to them.
Yes.
See, this is what we are to do.
Yes.
We are to make God's name known in this earth.
Yes.
We are to reveal his character.
Yes.
Just as Jesus said, he says,
yes,
and he said, I have made your name,
yes,
known to them,
yes,
and revealed your character.
Yes.
See, that's who we are to be. We are to be revealing God's character in this earth to the world.
Yes.
But how can we reveal God's character when we are characterizing the world, when,
yes,
we are doing the things like,
yes,
the world?
Yes.
We can't show God's character. We cannot, reveal his name in the earth. We cannot make his name known in the earth as long as we're doing it like the world.
Right.
We are not the world.
Amen.
He says, I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self.
Yes.
And I will continue to make you known.
Yes.
And see, that's the charge. We need to continue to make his name known in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
We need to show who he is, reveal who God is. That's why we're here, to be his face, to be his hands,
yes,
to be his feet, to be his voice, to make his name known in this earth.
Yes. Yes.
And only those who deliberately, who choose not to believe, They're going to deliberately choose not to believe.
That's right.
But not because we haven't made it known who God is.
Right, right, right.
You're going to choose not to believe, but deep down you know that there is God.
Yes, yes, yes,
because we have made him known in this earth.
Right. Yes.
This is where how the redeemed says so.
Yes, yes.
This is how our lives testify to who God is. And so we need to continue to make his name known in the earth.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
And so it requires us to crucify the flesh.
Yes.
We cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
We have the power through the Holy Spirit not to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
Crucify the flesh.
Right.
Crucify what we believe to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Line up our will with the word of God.
Right.
If it does not go with the word, it needs to be crucified.
Right. It needs to be crucified.
No matter how much we think we're right.
Yes.
We have to go by what God says.
That's right.
And this is what the world is looking for. They want to see the redeemed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to reveal the redeemed so that they may believe in the Redeemer. We are to reveal him in this earth. And in Philippians chapter 2, and I will start with, I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. I'm starting with verse 14 for context. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation,
mm-hmm.
spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world.
Yes.
This is what we are called to be,
mm-hmm.
lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation.
Yes.
So that God may be glorified, because there are some who will come to believe in God just as us.
Mm-hmm.
We were once in the world,
mm-hmm.
but somebody shined the light of Christ to us,
yes.
and we believed.
Right.
And so we are to do the same. However, we cannot imitate the world because we are not the world.
Right.
So again, we need to crucify the flesh. We need to have the mind of Christ. Jesus was all about his Father's business,
yes,
and that's how we are to be.
Yes,
so we
yes.
must renew our mind
yes.
that we are not here to fulfill the lust of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
to seek self-pleasures.
Right.
We are here to carry out the will of God,
mm-hmm.
to make his name known in the
yes,
earth.
Yes, yes.
And the devil, he has many things that he uses. And that's why he's known as the evil genius of this world. And so one of the ways that he tries to get us off track and shift our focus is to make us focus on the cares of this life,
mm-hmm.
to get us caught up with the everyday things
yes,
that
yes.
go about, to
right.
make us lose sight,
right.
to make us of none effect. Because he knows as long as we're concentrating on, oh, trying to make it day to day, we're not really concentrating on, you know what, let me surrender my will and focus on God. So he uses the cares of this life to come in to choke the word, make us forget. Our focus then starts to shift on surviving when all we need to do is surrender.
Uh-huh.
Not worrying about surviving,
yes.
just surrender.
Yes.
We are familiar with these next verses, but we need to hear as a reminder, because faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're familiar, we need to keep hearing it.
Yes, yes.
So in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, again, we are not of the world, so therefore we are not to be focused on the things of the everyday.
Right.
So in let me go there. I forget, it's not on my paper. Yes, Matthew 6, verses 31. And before 31, you know, Jesus is just giving more examples of why we should be worried and anxious. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, this is the world, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. So this is this is how we really can witness to the world, is through all this chaos and the uncertainties of, you know, jobs and the economy and everything that's getting turned upside down. This is where we really can shine as lights, to not be fretting about how we're going to make it. How are we going to do this? Are they going to lay me off? Or no. We are to just seek God, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and he will add all these things to us. Because this is one thing that trips up the church. And there are many people in the church who are fretting over these things that God tells us not to fret about, to seek his kingdom. This is the way the world does it, but not the church. Don't fret over these things. God has it. He will provide. He knows that we have need of these things. And so he will provide. So therefore, we need to trust him and just seek his face, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and he will add these things unto us. And so this is one way that we are not to mimic the world as well. And so Satan uses that so that we can get caught up with the day-to-day, the cares of this life, and not about our Father's business, knowing that we are needing to spread his gospel. He will supply all our need. Trust, walk his word out. And in John chapter 4, I'm getting off my paper. And again, we cannot transform the world by trying to conform to the world. So we need to remember that. We cannot transform the world by trying to conform to the world. That's right. In James chapter 4, the word of God speaks of friendship with the world is enmity with God. Mm-hmm. When you are friends with someone, you share common interests. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not friends with anybody that you don't have anything in common. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't have any conversation. There's no relationship because as a friendship, you share common interests. Right. So therefore, we can't be friends with the world because we don't share common interests.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's why it is enmity against God, because we don't have common interests with the world. We do not think how they think. We do not desire that. We don't do the things that the world does. We're not supposed to. So therefore, we should not have friendship with the world, because if we try to be friends with the world, we're going to conform.
Amen. Absolutely.
You will conform.
Yes.
And that's why there is a lot of lukewarmness now in the Christian church, because we're trying to conform, we're trying to be friends with the world. We are to be loving. The love of God is to shine through to us, but we are to be set apart by living out the word of God. We're not supposed to share a common interest with the world.
That's right.
So friendship with the world is enmity with God. So that's what we need to remember. We are to be different. We are to be set apart. We are not the world. And then another reminder for us is 1 John chapter 2. Starting with verse 15 through 17. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, Love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, cravings for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever. So we are not to love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world, because we are not the world. We are here to be God's hands, to be his feet, to be his witnesses in this earth. Yes. We are to reveal him. Yes. We are to show his character. That is what we are called to do. Yes. And that's what we should desire to do. In closing, the Holy Spirit wants us to close with the foundation scripture. Because this is a charge, command. We must do this daily. Whenever we feel that the flesh is trying to have its way, because we are in these earthly bodies, we must crucify it with the word of God. So whenever we feel like something's coming up, envy, strife, you know, taking the bait of the devil, we need to crucify it with the word of God. And, you know, the enemy, he walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. And we know superficial is just things that really don't matter, have no depth, passing, fleeting. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Be not conformed to this world. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Do not be conformed to this world, because we are not the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have not left us helpless. Not only have you given us your holy word, you have given us your Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be able to fulfill the commandments that you have left for us, oh God. And so, Lord, help us to renew our mind to the things of you, to set our mind on the things above and not the things below, Father God. And so, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the path that you have created for us, oh God, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered by you, Father God. And so, Lord God, we want to commit our lives to you, Father God. We want to live a living sacrifice, Father God, for your glory, Father, so that the world may see and know that you are God. Let us reveal you in this earth, Father God. And so, God, we just thank you, Father, for not only saving us, Father God, but you have plans and purposes for our lives, Father. You choose to use us, Father, for your kingdom. And so, God, we are just so forever and eternally thankful and grateful for the way that you have made for us, Father God. And so, God, we want to serve you, Father God. And so, Lord God, we just surrender over unto you, Father God, and ask that you just have your way, Father. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, amen.